Welcome to the Westview Church Podcast. Our vision at Westview is creating space for self and community to find rest in Christ. And we're thankful that today you've created space in your day to study God's Word together with us. If you'd like more information about Westview Church, find us on the web at www.westview.org.
It's great to be here. My name is Mike Holloman. I have 14 years of experience. Was at Otley. It was my last call. I'm now serving as a hospice chaplain with Suncrest in West Des Moines. But I have an area that goes from Pella to Indianola, pretty much. But it's a pleasure to be able to be here with you this morning. And thank you to the elders. Thank you to the staff. I know that having a guest pastor can be a little bit more, burdensome on when you don't have your normal pastor here. Also, thankful that I was able to be here, in that as when you're finding pulpit supply as a pastor, there's this tension that you experience because you want good preaching, you want somebody who can connect with your congregation, but you also want somebody who's not so good that they make you look bad, right? You want somebody who I'm glad that you're back, Pastor Josh. But once again, we're so thankful that Josh and Heather and the family can get a little bit of respite. And I understand Brian Davis is going to be here next week. Brian Davis from Developing Great Relationships in Pella, you're going to love him. Just be ready for his charisma. He's from the AG church, so be ready for the amens, okay? You don't look ready. And I might have to prep you a little bit, so if I say amen, how are you going to respond?
Amen.
There we go. There we go. No tulip time hangover here. But let's go to God this morning and let's look at what He has to show for us this morning. Let's pray together as we ask for God's blessing on the Word this morning. Father, we know that Your Word is a lamp unto our feet, and that it is a light unto our path. And we ask that You would make clear the way forward so that we can pursue You in life, in faith, and in truth. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So I'd like to begin by asking you a question. What does it mean to know somebody? What would you say is your baseline for knowing somebody? You know a few facts about that person? You know a few details maybe about their job? So for instance, I do know Josh a little bit, and I know that he's a man of good character. I know that he's a good pastor, good preacher, good leader. He's married to Heather. They have a beautiful family. He's got an excellent father-in-law over there, I think. But Josh has one major flaw. Do you know what this is? He's a Vikings fan. Amen. Amen. He's a Vikings fan. Now, I know Josh just a little bit, but do I really know him? What about somebody who I know a little bit more? Because if it's just on knowing a few facts about somebody, then I know Abraham Lincoln. Okay? Abraham Lincoln, I know that he lived in the 1800s. I know that he was married to Mary Todd Lincoln. I know that he had famous debates with Stephen Douglas. I know that they had four boys, the oldest being Robert, the only one who really lived into adulthood. I know that he's the 16th president of the United States, arguably called one of the best that we ever have. I know that he was a member of the Whig Party initially, then becoming a Republican. I also know that he was president for the duration of the Civil War until his assassination a few days after the signing of the surrender at Appomattox Courthouse. I know that he was assassinated by John Wilkes Booth. at Ford's Theater on April 14th of 1865 and died the following day. Would you say I know Abraham Lincoln? No. If I said that I know Abraham Lincoln, despite knowing all that knowledge about him, you'd look at me as though I am crazy. So what is it that causes us to know somebody? I would venture to say it's a personal relationship, correct? There is an intimacy that is there. There's personal experience. It's when you know what makes somebody tick, so to speak. You know their thoughts. You know their desires. You know what motivates them. You know what is going to push you just a little bit further. So how, then, do we know God? We need to have a deep personal relationship with Him, and it's more than just memorizing a few scriptures. Now, I'm not saying don't memorize scripture, friends, because it absolutely is important to do that. But what we do need to do is have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And I know for a fact the staff here at Westview wants you to know Jesus Christ. The sending network of which Josh and I are a part of wants you to know and have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. But it's not just enough to know God. We need to grow in God. And that's going to be the big idea this morning. This, if you only remember one thing from what I'm talking about this morning, that's what I want you to remember. Sermon in a statement, big idea, however you want to talk about it. It is not enough to know God, but we need to grow in God. Okay, let's look at our scripture this morning. We're going to turn to the book of Ephesians this morning. Feel free to follow along in however you want to follow along, whether it be words or the Bible there this morning or on your devices. We're looking in Ephesians, the third chapter, beginning at verse 14, going through to verse 21. It says this, "For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of His glorious riches He may strengthen you with power through His Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know that this love surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to His power that is at work within us, to Him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all the generations forever and ever. Amen." Here ends our reading this morning. Thanks be to God for His wonderful and perfect Word. Okay, a good Reformed sermon has what? How many points? Three. We've got three for you this morning. The first one that I'm going to kind of put for you this morning, why do we need to grow in God? The first reason is that growing in God demonstrates our love for Him. Ultimately, why should we know God? Because He has done so much for us. He has done everything for us. He gave us His life so that we could have what? Life. He gave everything to His last breath. Then He, of course, 3 days later, was resurrected and given a new body one, an experience that we get to experience because of what He has done. It is incredible and it is wonderful. And God has given us life that we might have it to the full. But the key is, friends, is that our lives don't continue in the way that they always have been, but they are changed because of His love for us. We've all watched the movies. We've all read the books where somebody gives or saves somebody. Okay? Let's think about perhaps one of the greatest movies ever made or stories ever told, which is The Count of Monte Cristo. Are you familiar with the story? Oh, yes. Jim Caviezel was in a movie of it a few years back. And I'm not trying to date myself, but that's an excellent movie. Just be aware it's a long movie, okay? But in this movie, he is in a fight with, Jim Caviezel's character is in a fight with an excellent knife fighter who is a pirate, and they are fighting to the death. And at one point, he takes his knife after pinning him to the ground. Jim Caviezel sticks his knife in the ground, and he says, if you want to live, hold your tongue. And he arranges that both of them are able to live. And Jacopo, the pirate that he saves, says, until my death, I will tell you I am your man. And he, throughout the entirety of the story of the movie, is his loyal servant. He is changed by that experience. He understands that because of what was done for him that he has life. So why would we not, friends, begin to live for God? Why would we not want to form a relationship with the person that saves us? Think about it. He gave up everything for us. He gave up His life. It's not just like somebody who's an investor who says, I'll throw money at it, or I'll maybe help you out for an afternoon and help you replace your plumbing or help you do some drywall or paint a wall or something. He gives of Himself. He fully gives of Himself. Why would we not want to cultivate that relationship? We should all know God and strive to listen to Him. In the Gospel of John chapter 10, talking about Jesus as the Good Shepherd, He also says this in verses 2 through 4. It says, but he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear His voice, and He calls His own sheep by name, and He leads them out. When He has brought out all of His own, He goes before Him, and the sheep know Him, for they know His voice. Friends, do you know the voice of the shepherd? We need to know His voice. As a parent, when you hear your kid scream for you, saying mom or dad, you likely can pick out your child, can you not? Yes. And a kid can often pick out the voice of their mother or their father. But in this 21st century, can we pick out the voice of God despite all of the things, all of the messages that we are seeing on Facebook, on Twitter, on Blue Sky, or on Instagram, or on TikTok, or Threads, or whatever the new fandangled thing is? Can we hear the voice of God despite the political rhetoric that happens on CNN and Fox News. And, well, let's just be honest. I hear that we should listen to Al Jazeera because they hate everybody. So, can we hear the voice of God refusing to change because of what God has done for us shows that we don't really know or care about Him. Our love for God should motivate us to cultivate that further relationship. So first thing is that we wanted to cultivate a relationship because it shows that we love Him. The second reason is that it continues to benefit the church. That's the second one if you're taking notes. Growing in Christ or growing in God benefits the church. How many of us do well learning by ourselves? Some of us do. Some of us can learn. But I'll tell you this, that I'm guessing that few of us have learned everything that we need to know from a book. Even one of the greatest minds ever known, Sheldon Cooper, learns from other people. Even people who have photographic memories or images in their head can and need to learn from other people. We need some sort of interaction. And for us in our faith especially, most of us can point to somebody who has invested in us personally. Maybe it's a parent. Maybe it's a grandparent. Maybe it's a youth leader, a teacher, a pastor, a family friend who came alongside of us and said, this is how you can love Christ deeper. It benefits the church. It builds the body of Christ. And let me tell you this, friends. As a pastor, I've seen it, and I'm sure Josh has experienced this as well. One of the most frustrating things as a pastor is when I can or I feel like I've identified somebody with a spiritual gift and they say, oh, I don't have that gift or I don't feel qualified. And Liz, I see Liz is shaking her head. Yep. And I'm sure Carl would be shaking his head saying yes. Because we say, oh, I don't know enough. I don't know enough to help somebody else out. And let me tell you, friends, you've heard this before. You'll hear it again. God doesn't call the equipped. He equips the called. Okay? Did Abram, in Genesis 12, have all the information? Did he? No. Did Peter and the disciples know exactly what they were going to have to do after the resurrection, which I'm sure you talked about a couple weeks ago? Did Jesus lay out a complete map? I mean, he gives you the Great Commission. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded, and truly I will be with you always to the very end of the age. But where's the business plan? Where's the exact directions? I'll tell you this, friends. I enjoy cooking sometimes, but I drive people in my house nuts because I often want to use the exact directions. And if I can't use the exact directions, I feel like I can't do it correctly. And then, you know, other people are like, oh, I just throw in a little bit of that and a little bit of this. And then it turns out good. And I'm like, no, I can't do that. I just can't. Okay? But growing in Christ benefits the church. It's about growing together. And your experience can absolutely help somebody else. Your knowledge absolutely does. And I'd encourage you, seek out mentors. Be willing to mentor others. Because we do that in business, do we not? We say, oh, that Warren Buffett knows something about business. We say, oh, Alistair Begg, he's a really good pastor, a really good preacher. I'm going to learn from him. We find people and we look up to them and they're in the church. What does it say in the book of Ecclesiastes? I love this for talking about benefiting the church, actually. It's often used as a wedding scripture, but once again, I think this talks about growing in God for us and the importance of others. Ecclesiastes 4, 9 through 12. Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their toil. For if they fall, one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him who is alone when he falls and has not another to lift him up. Again, if two lie together, they can keep warm. But how can one keep warm? And though a man might prevail against the one who is alone, two will withstand him. A cord of threefold is not quickly broken. We're called to lean on one another. Discipleship is about walking together. Jesus, when he sends out the disciples to go and do ministry, he sends them out not individually, but he sends them out in pairs, walking together is absolutely important. Can I gain a knowledge of God by myself? A knowledge, maybe yes, but I can go so much further by having others around us. Have you ever wondered why birds fly in a V? I can't remember the exact article, but they say that because they fly in that formation, what happens? When they get tired, they go further back into the V, and they can then, when they're all the way at the back, they go back to the front of the V. And they say that they can fly up to like 40% further because they glean off of others. Just like when you're running a 5K or a marathon, where do you want to find? You want to run right behind somebody to decrease your wind resistance, right? Yeah. Now, I'm not saying hide on behind somebody's coattails, but consider how you can help somebody else along. Maybe somebody can learn from living in your shadow just a little bit. And once again, we're all following Christ. We're all going towards that same goal. Let it benefit the church. And the last of the 3 points is that growing in God is an endless journey. And once again, friends, don't take this as the be-all and the end-all. Not everything will be peaches and roses and pillows and wonder if we completely turn to God. It's not always going to be easy. In fact, you look at the disciples, so many of them live a very wonderful life but experience horrible deaths. As the great theologian and scholar and author C.S. Lewis said in his classic book, The Lion, the Witch in the Wardrobe, talking about Aslan, but also as a narrative for Christ. He says this about Aslan the lion. Safe? Of course he isn't safe, but what? He's good. Safe? Of course he isn't safe, but he's good. We need to show that we are acting on our love for Christ. We need to continue to grow in that journey. Sometimes the scariest prayer we can pray is that prayer for faith. Okay? But asking rhetorically this morning for just a second. If you pray for faith, how does God answer your prayer? Does God give you faith, or does He give you opportunity to grow your faith? All of a sudden, praying that prayer of faith becomes a little bit more unsettling, doesn't it? Look what it says in James chapter 2, 19 through 20. But some will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith apart from your works and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that God is one and you will do well. Even the demons believe and shudder. Do you want to be shown? Do you want to be shown? You foolish person, that faith apart from works is useless. Friends, if we have knowledge of something, we need to take action on it. If we believe something is true, we need to take action on it. If you are a true Star Wars fan, what day is today? So if you claim to be a true Star Wars fan and you never say, may the Force or the Fourth be with you today, are you a true Star Wars fan? Absolutely not. If you are one of those people that think that the Cubs are the greatest team to ever be on the face of the earth, and I never see you wear a Cubs hat or a Cubs jersey, I'm going to doubt that. But, and don't get me wrong, I'm not saying do this, but if you have a Cubs tattoo, I'm just going to know that maybe we need to get you to a mental facility. I'm sorry, I'm a Lions fan. I'm right there with you, just in a different category. Okay? If you claim to believe in something, but you don't take action on it, that faith is useless. One of the greatest examples of this is Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade. And I'm pretty sure that a lot of you know this part, where there is a big chasm, and he's got to take that step of faith. There's nothing there. And then he goes, and then finally, It appears for him. Friends, we need to be willing to take heart and work on those things. We need to take action. And let me tell you, you're never going to find the end. It's a cavern that is absolutely worth spelunking in, and you won't ever find the end. And the greatest thing of all is that none of us can fathom the depth of God's love. Amen? You weren't loud enough this morning. You got tulip time hangover too? None of us can fathom the depths of God's love. Amen?
Amen.
There we go. And here's where we come together this morning. Okay? Here's where it all comes together. It's not just enough to know God, but we need to do what? We need to grow in God. And the challenge that I'm going to kind of place for you this morning is, how are you growing in God today? You know, it was God's providence that I came today on a day where you're honoring your seniors today. And let me say this is, to those seniors over there and around and watching online, it is not just enough to know God, but it's continually ready to grow in God. Okay? And for many of us, it's May, and we feel like, you know, in school, and my wife is a teacher, she teaches first grade, and she is just doing all she can to make sure the wheels don't fall off on the rest of the year. All the other teachers are like, yep. There's nothing new that they're learning. But what happens in the summer? The kids go home, they have fun, and what often happens? The video games take over. The tech takes over. There's just that little bit of regression, right? But I pray, friends, for you all, don't let that happen. Don't let that happen this morning. Maybe you're just starting out on your faith journey. Maybe you just said yes to Jesus, and praise the Lord if you just said yes to Jesus in the last little bit. Or maybe you're further along in your journey. But I want to challenge both steps, both faith levels for you this morning. If you're newer in your faith, I want you to take one deliberate step this week. One deliberate step to say, I want to step away from just knowing God, but beginning to grow in God. Growing in Him personally. Maybe that's making a dedicated prayer time. Okay? Maybe that's finding a devotional that can connect with you. What's one specific thing that you can do beyond just knowing God to truly growing in your knowledge of Him? And maybe for those who are a little bit further along, here's a challenge this morning. What is one specific action that you're going to take to demonstrate your love for Christ or make your action in service this week? How are you going to demonstrate your love for others this week? Friends, it's not just enough to know God. We've got to actively be growing in God. Let's pray together. Father, we are just so thankful once again for your word. We're thankful for the opportunity to open your word and to find opportunities for us to not only know you, but to grow in your knowledge and in your grace. We just ask that you would look upon us in mercy this week. Would you give us opportunities to grow closer to you and allow ourselves to humble ourselves so that we might make you more glorified and magnified in our lives this week. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for the Westview Church Podcast. We hope that you are blessed as we studied Scripture together today. We'd love to invite you to our worship service at Westview Church, which takes place at 9:30 on Sunday mornings. May God richly bless your day.